And good morning, church family. Hey, a blessing to see you. What a beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. And we appreciate everything you've already done for us. We want to just say thank you for your hospitality. The 30 amp that just got wired, that is a big thing. When you're drawing 15 on a GFCI breaker, you can sneeze in your motorhome and kill power. And 30 amp, it's a little harder to do that. And very, very, very welcome. And appreciate you letting us park here. Took my wife out for a break, and it was just a wonderful time together. We don't get that very often. We are literally booked for the next 3 years almost every week, and so it's just it's nice to get that break. So thank you. Appreciate it. Sister Hoffer and Brother Hoffer watched our little dog Lacey, and they gave her back, and they gave her back, which is why my wife is smiling this morning. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'll let you remain seated. I want to read just a couple verses here. In Matthew chapter 7, look what's said here in verse number 7. Our Savior speaking says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." I wonder, have you ever had this experience in your Christian life? I've had it, if not once, I've had it a thousand and one times where I've said this to myself as it pertains to prayer. I've said to myself, "I don't want to pray." You ever said that? Or here's a better one. "I don't know how to pray." You're in a situation, you just don't even know how to pray. Or I don't know what to pray for. Or here's the one that I find myself oftentimes approaching with an attitude. I say, "I don't feel like praying. I feel like I'm wasting my time praying." You ever thought that? You ever said that? Well, if you're honest, you have. And let me tell you, the lesson I'm about to give you has been so profound in my life. Something so basic and simple in this area of prayer, I blew right past in the last 30 years of being saved. And I want to share that thought with you, meant for those times where you're tempted to say that in your relationship with prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time this morning. We pray your blessing upon it. And Lord, as we come to you in prayer, we do ask that you would bless our lesson, you would bless these thoughts. And Lord, for each of us as your children, when we're discouraged and don't want to pray, don't know how to pray, may this thought, Lord, be that source of great, great encouragement to draw us aside to thee. And Father, Lord, may it be a lesson that encourages us to be people of prayer. We ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things we want to look at this morning in the handout that I gave you. Number one, we want to consider the call to prayer. The call to prayer, the things that urge us to pray. Number two, the practice of prayer, what it means to pray. And then thirdly, really, which is the point I want to get to, which is the simple little thought that was so encouraging to me, but the other two are good too, is the certainty that we find in prayer. The certainty we find in prayer. So let's start with our first thought, the call to prayer. The call to prayer. You know, this morning, we as God's children have many things that urge us and prompt us and beckon us and call us to pray. Number one, A, the word of the Father, that's your Bible, is a call to prayer. All through the Bible, we find commands and promptings to pray. Just listen to what I listed in Matthew 7:7. He says, "Ask." Matthew 9:38. He says, "Pray ye." Luke 18:1, "Men ought always to pray." Matthew 26:41, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Matthew 6:6, "Enter into thy closet and pray." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:8, "I will therefore that men pray." Ephesians 6:8, it says, "Praying always with all prayer." Listen, when you come into the Bible, you'll see a book that literally is saturated with calls to prayer. It oozes with beckons to pray. You cannot read your Bible without being urged and prompted to pray. Which tells me this. If you don't read your Bible, you lose an urging and a prompting to prayer. The word of the Father is a call to prayer. B, look at the next thing though that urges us to pray. The example of the Son is a call to prayer. the example of the Son. Is it called a prayer? Let's consider briefly this morning the life of Christ in regards to prayer. Number one, while on earth. Fill that in there. While on earth. When did Jesus Christ pray while he was here on earth? Well, I listed some of the moments. He prayed at his baptism. He prayed before sending the disciples out. He prayed at the grave of Lazarus. He prayed for Peter's faith that it wouldn't fail. He prayed on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus Christ prayed at the Last Supper. He prayed in Gethsemane. He prayed on the cross for his enemies. When you consider Jesus Christ, his life urges and prompts us to pray, because if he prayed and communed with the Father, how much more you and I need to? Amen? And so the example of the Son urges us and beckons us and calls us to prayer. But not only while on earth, but two, write this one down, while in heaven. The life of Christ in regards to prayer did not end just simply with his earthly ministry. Hebrews chapter 7, I'll just go over there. If you want to turn with me, you may. You don't necessarily have to. Hebrews chapter 7, listen to what's said about Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 7 in verse number 25. The Bible says, wherefore he, this is speaking of Christ, Hebrews 7:25, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Notice this, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ's prayer life didn't end when he ascended to heaven. Even now he's praying. He's petitioning the Father. He's interceding for you and I before the throne of God. You and I need to recognize this morning that the example of our Savior, the Son, is something that calls us and urges us and beckons us to pray. See, here's something else. Here's someone else. The urging of the Spirit is a call to prayer. I'll read that. The urging of the Spirit is a call to prayer. In Romans chapter 8, notice in verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit inside of you this morning, you received the day you were saved, urges you and beckons you and calls you to come to God in prayer. Fourthly, D, the needs of our life are a call to prayer. The needs you have today in your life are a reason to pray. The psalmist said it this way in Psalm 72. The psalmist said Psalm 72 in verse number 12. He says this, in Psalm 72:12, he says, for he shall deliver the needy. You may want to underline those next three words in that verse if you've turned there. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. Notice he doesn't say he'll deliver the needy when he works. He doesn't say he'll deliver the needy when he worries. You with me? How prone we are to that. It says he doesn't deliver the needy when he makes plans, and I'm a planner. But it's amazing, in all my plans I'm still a needy person. He delivers the needy when he crieth. The needs of your life this morning are a reason to pray. Turn the page. Notice what else is in your life this morning beckoning you and prompting you to come to God in prayer. E, the next page. The anxiety of our hearts. The anxiety of our hearts is a call to prayer. Philippians says it this way. He says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about a thing. That is literally what that means. You say, what should I worry about? Nothing. Be careful. The word careful means worry. Be careful for nothing, but instead in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You have worries today. You've got problems today. You know, I like the song. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? What's it say? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Good advice. Amen. And you know what's sad is all too often the things we worry about are the things that draw us away from Him when they ought to be the things that nudge us to Him. Amen. That'll be the reason to pray, not the reason not to. But notice, go on. Look at what else is in our life, and it's very similar to that in F, point F, the temptations of the flesh, your weaknesses, my weaknesses, the temptations of the flesh are a call to prayer. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 26:41, addressing His disciples, He says, watch and pray. Why? Why pray? That ye enter not into temptation. And notice this morning, this call to prayer. Notice that all these things, the Word of the Father, the example of the Son, the urging of the Spirit, the needs of your life, the anxieties and worries of your heart, the temptations of your flesh, your weaknesses, all these things that just swirl around you like chaff. They swirl and they call and they beckon and they say, pray, pray. The call to prayer is ubiquitous. It's unending. And we're prompted to pray in many, many ways. So you hear this morning, and let me say this. In my travels, in my dealings with people, in my dealings with myself, this is a weak area in our Christianity. We talk about it, but we don't do it. We know we should, but we don't. And this is why we're not as strong as we ought to be. And we're so weak in our service to the Lord many times. So you say to me this morning, okay, I got it. I got it, preacher. I'm supposed to pray. I knew that, but boy, I really know it now. So where do I start? That's a big thought. Going to God in prayer, where do I start? It's not hard. Go to Matthew 7 in verse number 7 and notice the practice of prayer, where all prayer begins. Notice in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7, we see Jesus Christ begin by simply saying, ask, and it shall be given you. Where does all prayer begin? It begins by asking. The word prayer literally means to ask. To pray means to ask. And having said that this morning, I could say this. I will say this about every one of you. I know something about every one of you in your relationship to prayer. You all prayed this morning. You all prayed. Every one of you prayed. Some of you going, I did not. Yes, you did. For in the Old Testament, you will hear this phrase so many times, I pray thee. Somebody turns to another and says, I pray thee. And what they're saying is, I'm asking you for something. And this morning, every one of you prayed. You turned to your spouse and said, hon, could you get me this? That was a prayer. Y'all with me? Hon, I can't do this. I need you to do this. Or you called the pastor and said, I need this. Or, you with me? We turned to somebody horizontally and we prayed. We're asking people. We ask all the time. We pray all the time. Unfortunately, most of our prayers are horizontal and not vertical. And you know what's sad about that? We're petitioning people who have limited resources rather than a person who has unlimited resources. I was sharing this little thought with a math major. She was in college and she was majoring in math and wanted to go on to teach math at a high level in a high school. And she said to me, wow, that's a fascinating thought. Because when you deal with slopes, you know, the vertical or the horizontal slope, she says, do you know that a horizontal slope has zero activity? But a vertical slope has infinite activity. And I think of our prayer life, and so many times our prayer life is just a horizontal slope. We just petition others, and they let us down, and they don't fulfill our expectations, and we get frustrated in that prayer life, and we don't learn the vertical one. Well, we're all prayer warriors. Unfortunately, most of the time we're not praying up, we're praying out. Amen? So all prayer begins by asking. That's simply what it means to ask. And so I wrote these down, fill these in very quickly. When we ask, there are three things that I think are pertinent to asking of God. Number one, we should be instant in our asking. We should be instant in our asking. When we consider prayer vertically, not horizontally. Well, we're so instant in asking horizontally, but we should be instant in asking vertically. That is, we should ask God before you ask anybody else. Go to Nehemiah. Watch this example of instant prayer. In the book of Nehemiah,
hard to find a little book. Old Testament history closes out with Nehemiah. It's before the books of the Kings. After the books of the Kings. I don't even remember now. After the books of the Kings. Yeah, my wife wrote that in my notes. I should have read that a little closer. Nehemiah chapter 2. You'll get old one day too. Nehemiah chapter 2. The Jews are preparing to return and rebuild Jerusalem. And notice in Nehemiah 2, in verse 2, Nehemiah is before King Artaxerxes. In verse 2 it says, "Wherefore the king said unto me," Nehemiah 2, 2, "Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city," speaking of Jerusalem, "the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste. The gates thereof are consumed with fire." Notice verse 4. Watch this. It's right here in verse 4. "Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request?" Why don't you say something? When a king asks you what you want, he's got the ability to fulfill the wish list. He turns to him. He says, "So what do you want?" And notice Nehemiah's heart. It doesn't jump back toward the king. It jumps to a different king. It says this, "So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king." It seems to be this instant prayer. There isn't this thought there in Nehemiah where, "So I went to the house of God, and I fasted and prayed and besought the Lord, and then I came back to the king." He's talking to the king, and the king says, "What do you want?" And Nehemiah says, "Lord, what do you want?" And then he comes back and says, "Here's what I want." There's that instant prayer. And when it comes to prayer, I think that's important today. I think there should be a cognizance that our Father's available for His children. It was said of Billy Sunday that oftentimes as he would speak to people, he'd forget where he was. He'd be talking to you, and then he'd talk to the Lord, and then he'd come back and talk to you just as if the Lord was in the room with him. He sometimes was speaking to the Lord, he'd forget he was on the platform ready to preach. He was just so aware of that presence of the Lord and so continually talking, driving down the road, "Lord, keep me safe." There's that instant prayer. Passing that accident, "Lord, help them. Whoever's there, I hope they're saved, Lord." You know what I'm saying? I mean, just that constant awareness and communication with God. So our asking should be instant, number one. Number two, we should be constant in asking. We should be constant in asking. The verse I chose there, and I'll just quote it, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, says, "Pray without ceasing." Prayer ought to be our automatic habit and response. Doesn't matter what comes in your life. I'm astounded by how many times when something comes in my life, that's the reason not to pray. You know, something stupid happens, right? The bad things I can always see. It's the dumb little things that bother me. Like, that was really stupid. Why did that happen? You know, why did they do that? You know? And then I use that as a reason not to pray for them. You know what I'm saying? But to pray without ceasing means to just whatever comes in your life is a reason to pray. Something harsh and cold, a bitter wind of circumstances, that should be the cold wind that pushes you closer to the rock that is higher than you. And then this blessing lands in your lap. That shouldn't be a reason to forget God and go out and, you know, just have fun. It ought to be the reason to pause like a little flower and warmly thank the Lord for that sunbeam. You with me? Everything that comes in our life is a reason to pray. Be instant in asking. Be constant in asking. And then thirdly, I wrote this down, be complete in asking. Philippians 4:6, in everything. In everything. Make your request be made known unto God. Nothing's too big. Nothing's too small to come to the Father with. Look with me real quickly in Isaiah 37. Go there. Don't miss this. And then I want to get to that third point, which really is the one that was such a source of encouragement to my heart. I know this has been an encouragement to me, and I hope it's to you as well, but the third point is the one I really want to get to. Notice in Isaiah chapter 37. Isaiah 37. And what's prompting me to come to this verse is the little statement I give you right here at the end of that practice of prayer section. I write this down, and I wrote it in the notes. There is a giving by God. Don't miss this. There is a giving by God that oftentimes will only come when we ask. To say that again, I find in the Bible Many times there is a giving by God that oftentimes will only come when we pause to ask. Look at the example of it in Isaiah 37. Hezekiah is the king. Sennacherib has staged the troops outside. He's an undefeated enemy. He's defeated every king he's come against. This is a thought that I've actually share a message I entitled called Hezekiah's Prayer. Sennacherib sends a letter to Hezekiah telling him, basically, you're next. And I have two titles for that message. The one title I call the adult title. And it's this, what are you going to do when the bad news comes? It's not, are you going to get bad news? That's not the question. The question is, what are you going to do with it when you get it? And then for the young generation, I got a different title. It's, you've got mail. the internet. You got mail. we all get mail that we like to write return to sender, But Hezekiah forwards the mail to the Lord is what he does. He sees God's name is on this thing as well as his. And so he puts please forward too, and he forwards the mail and he spreads it before God and says, God, here's my problem. Read the letter. Your name's on it. I need your help. I'm just giving you the summer door version of this whole event. And notice what's said in verse 21. Circle that verse, because here's that giving by God that only comes when someone asks. Isaiah 37:21. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed. Underline those four words, whereas thou hast prayed. What he's saying is, because you prayed, here's what I'm going to do. Wow. Do you catch the inference in that, that my heart catches? It's as if he could have also said, if you hadn't have prayed, I wouldn't have gotten involved. Wow. You see, this morning, as Satan would try to minimize prayer and God would try to maximize it, as the world's busyness would try to steal it from us and the Holy Spirit would draw us to prayer, never forget, there is a giving by God that sometimes will only come when you pause to ask. Amen? Therefore, pray. McConkie, in his book on prayer, says it this way. He says, when we come to a place of crisis or stress in our life, we betake ourselves to everything but prayer. We worry, we fret, we brood, but we do not ask. But God does not say, if you chafe or scheme or plan, I will do. He says, if you ask, I will do. Someone would say here, I do not know how to ask. I do not understand the mysteries of God's will. I do not know how to live this prayer life. McConkie responds, the answer is simple. The way to learn to do is to begin to do. This is true of all effort. It is also true of prayer. The trouble is not that we do not know how to ask, he says, but that we are not asking. God cannot help the man who will not pray, for he gives God no chance. God does not expect us to know all the secrets of prayer before we enter into this school of prayer, but he does ask us to begin, to take our seat on the primary bench, and to learn the ABCs of this life. And then as we go on praying, he writes, we keep on learning. The responsibility of teaching to pray is with God, but the responsibility of actually praying is with us. He closes this out with this profound statement. It is not our ignorance of the prayer life, but our woeful neglect of it that most grieves the heart of our God. So profound. So this morning we've seen the call to prayer, the practice of prayer. But thirdly, I want to go to the thought that really got my heart. I mean, it has been such an encouragement to me to pray when I don't feel like it. And it's the third one, the certainty that we find in prayer. Go back to Matthew 7 as we go to our final point this morning. In Matthew chapter 7. And notice what's said here. Jesus Christ approaches this, and I'm going to read verse number 7 and verse number 8. Matthew 7, he says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now watch verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. I put the note there. This is very important. Notice it does not say, everyone that asketh, receiveth what he asks for. But let me close that thought out. A, everyone that asketh, receiveth something. Don't miss this. Everyone that pauses and comes to God in prayer receives something. McConkie writes about this in his book on prayer, and this is what he says. He says, it is as though a little lad came to his mother and said, "Mama, whenever I come to Papa, he does not always give me the thing I ask for." We know how that works. But he always gives me something. And then he tells me to always come to him in my troubles, and he'll always be there to help. McConkie says, is not this just the lesson the beginner in prayer life needs? Our Father saying, "Come, my child, into the closet of prayer. For everyone who comes there shall receive. Though you may not yet know how to ask according to my will, yet you shall receive. Though you may not yet have learned how to abide in me, yet you shall receive. Though you may not yet know how to pray as you ought, you shall receive something. For every time you come, I am here to give." That's profound. "Everyone that asketh receiveth something." I wrote it down. "You will never leave your Father empty-handed." He'll always give you something for coming. But notice B, go to the top of the next page and let's move it ahead a little more. Not only everyone that asketh receiveth something, but B, everyone that asketh receiveth good things. Go to Matthew 7 here. Notice as we pick that narrative up after the command to come to him in prayer, look at verse 9. Look at the verse here and how the Lord teaches us in verse 9, Matthew 7, 9. He says, "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent?" And verse 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Not only everyone that cometh that asketh receiveth something, but everyone that asketh receiveth, and I wrote it down, good things, not bad things. Well, I would say, well, why not? Because he's a good father, not a bad father. And he seems to say he takes us as evil fathers because we're sinful and selfish by nature and self-absorbed. He takes us as the contrast. He said, if you as evil fathers can figure out how to be good to your children, then how much more can a good father who's never evil be good to his children? That's what he's saying. You'll never leave the Father empty-handed. It'll never be a waste of time. He'll always give you something, and the something he gives you will be something good, not bad. What are some of the good things? Write them down. Number one, I wrote this one down. One of the good things I found that our Father gives his children when they come, irregardless of what they ask for, is he gives them light and understanding. He gives them light and understanding. Pastor Gary Prisk, who trained me in the ministry, who went home to be with the Lord 7 years ago this next month, his ministry verse, life verse, Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." The very first thing your Father will give you that's good, whether you ask it from him or not, he'll give you light and understanding. Number two, the second thing he'll give you, he'll give you peace. He'll give you peace. I'm going to read that, Philippians 4. I'm just going to go ahead and read that very quickly, because this is a very, very big point here. Philippians chapter 4, notice what's said in verse 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing." That means don't worry about things. But instead, Philippians 4, 6, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Notice verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I was in the midst of studying this lesson out a while back, and one night it was late in the evening, my wife and I started noticing a smell coming from the fridge, and I thought, what's going bad in the fridge? And it had kind of an ammonia smell, and it got worse as the next day or two went by, and finally I said, something's wrong with this thing. And so I called a fridge guy and came to find out that the fridge was going out. And that was one of the indicators of a fridge going out in an RV. You get this ammonia smell. And so we troubleshot it down and figured out it needed to have a complete rebuild kit. $1,900-some for this thing. I mean, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I could go to Sears, you know, and, and somewhere there and just get a fridge for a few $100. Why not? But it has a propane option. You know, you can't run the power cord 3,000 miles across the nation. You know, I mean, you got to turn it to LP when you're not plugged into power and you don't want to run your generator. So it makes it a very expensive fridge. It's the largest appliance in a motorhome, and they build the whole motorhome around your fridge. In fact, some fridges have to come out the windshield when they have to take them out and replace them completely. And so it was a $1,900 plus repair. And I remember it was over in Idaho. We finished it up and I thought, well, man, I'll never have to worry about that silly thing for the next 10 years, you know. And just a month or two later, 2 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden my fridge started beeping. Beep, beep. No AC, no LP, no power, nothing. I thought, well, what? And the breakers were good. I thought, what in the world is going on? I didn't know what was the matter. And so I just shut it off that night. I said, I'll troubleshoot it in the morning. And the next morning I got up and I was in the middle of this study. And I said, everyone that cometh to God receiveth something. I was right in the middle of this study. Remember that moment? I was right in this study. And I said, you know, this is crazy. Now, little things like that bother me. I don't know who you are, but I just dumped $2,000 into this stupid thing. It doesn't need to be beeping at me at 2 a.m. 2 months later telling me it needs something else. You know, I should be doing the beeping. I mean, this is nuts. And that's how I'm thinking. And so I approach it that morning, knowing I've got to solve this problem and troubleshoot it, and there can't be anything else to replace. This is nuts. Because I replaced the whole thing, I thought. And I thought, you know what? I don't always come into these things with the right attitude. And I don't always pray over junk like this. I'm just telling you how I was thinking. Junk like this. That's how I think. This is stupid. Why would I pray over something stupid like this? There's nothing to pray about. But I'm in the middle of this study and the Spirit of God says, try me. And so I prayed. And my prayer was a very simple prayer, and it was a very, very focused prayer. Lord, help it to be, whatever's the problem, help it to be an easy fix and a cheap fix. That was my prayer. I asked Him for an easy, cheap fix. My thinking, a fuse. I blew a fuse somewhere in there. I got into that thing, and it wasn't easy, and it wasn't cheap. There was one thing I hadn't replaced. It was about a $400 circuit board brain on that thing. Did you know the naysayers would say, huh, you came to your father, and you asked him as a child for something simple and cheap, and it wasn't simple, and it wasn't cheap. Huh. No, I didn't get what I asked for, but I got something better. He gave me peace. The entire time I repaired that. I never lost my cool. It didn't bother me. Money's the easiest thing in life to replace in America. Friendships are hard. Marriages are hard. Ministries are hard. You with me? But you live in America, you can always find a buck. And if you stop to think about it, peace and contentment is way more valuable than $400. People spend $400,000 in a lifetime trying to get that. I came to Him. He didn't let me go empty-handed. He gave me something. And the something He gave me was good. It was more valuable than what I was even asking for. And then I wrote this. Now, you want to just write this. The third thing I noted, and there's many things, is the Holy Spirit, Luke 11:13. He gives the Spirit to those who ask Him. You say, well, I thought I got the Holy Spirit the day I got saved. You did. And really, the fullness of the Holy Spirit isn't oftentimes as much of Him as you have as much of you He has. How much of you He has is oftentimes. People said, well, how can you tell when somebody's filled with the Holy Spirit? You can just tell when they're not. You can just tell when they're not. Amen? And so everyone that asketh receiveth something. Everyone that asketh receiveth good things. And then thirdly, I'll close it out with this. See, everyone that asketh receiveth the very thing he needs. He receives what he needs, not necessarily what he wants. Matthew 6 closes it out. Listen to what's said. Matthew 6 and verse number, wherever my glasses went, verse number 8. Look what's said here. But thou, when thou prayest, Matthew 6 and verse 8, he's speaking about not using vain repetitions as the heathen in verse 7. Verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them. Don't be like the heathen. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. So, Matthew 7 says in verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Christian, the next time you say, I don't want to pray. Could even be tonight, you get the phone call or something silly happens. You say, I don't feel like praying about that. I don't want to pray. I don't even know how to pray. Never forget this. You'll never waste your time going to God in prayer. He'll always give you something for coming. And the something He gives you will be something good, not bad. And that good thing He gives you will meet a need you have, whether you're aware of that need or not. So let's pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this encouraging thought, how it's been used in my life just over and over again. I pray it would be as such for Your people. Help us, Lord, to come to You. We realize that everyone that comes, You receive something. Something we get is good, not bad. Father, it'll meet a need that You're aware that we have, whether we're aware of it or not. Help us, Lord, to be people of prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.